Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, O put me not to shame before triumphant foes. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 60.
Out of God's holy and precious word from the book of John, they're of the fourth chapter, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 4, verses 1 to 38. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, teach us to pray. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But thou dost make supplication for thy own church with groanings we read that cannot be uttered. Wilt thou remember us also and our children, who cannot rightly pray even for ourselves? But wilt thou instruct us in thy greatness, in thy majesty, in thy holiness, that we may know before whom we come, and that we may have a desire to know thee and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Thy servant did say, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Thou dost quicken thy church from the dead, and we call not upon thee, except that we are quickened by thee. O Lord, that thou may look on each and every one of us, and grant unto us that life that sighs and that cries to thee. The sighing of the prisoner that shall come to thee. And thou knowest where that those prisoners are, even in the midst of us. For there are those who do not know the way, who cannot deliver themselves, who are shut up and who cannot come forth, who dwell in the midst of darkness and have no light. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may remember them in a special way, for that is thy own church. Who will learn to sigh and to cry unto thee, or that thou may give it more in the midst of us, even among young and old, that all must come from thee, and then it goes out unto thee, then thy name is glorified, when thou dost hear the sighing of the prisoner, when thou dost deliver the needy when he crieth, when thou dost deliver thy church, when they are at their wits' end, and then they magnify thee, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wilt thou give that we may be even as the conies? They are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in a rock. And thou knowest each of thy children, for they are also feeble. They know not, neither have they the wherewithal to protect themselves. We have heard it in this morning hour. And then there is a justice that they feel, that there is a justice that must be satisfied, and they cannot satisfy it. Oh, that they may be, seek also to be hidden in thee, but thou art so hidden to them. Reveal thou thyself. We have heard it read in these moments. I that speak unto thee am he. Then she knew not that thou didst speak unto her. Then she knew not that thou didst reveal thyself, that thou didst upend all her own work, that thou didst overturn her whole life. She knew not it was thee. Lord, remember thy people, to whom thou dost speak, in whom thou dost work. When thou dost say, I will overturn, I will overturn, I will overturn it. Oh, that thou may deliver them, and wilt thou show unto them thy salvation. Do remember young and old, in all the needs and cares they have been laid before thee in this morning hour. In a special way, the child. Thou knowest all the need, wilt thou make it well. Also, the old mother and grandmother, pneumonia. Lord, thou knowest all that she stands in need of. Wilt thou bless the means for their recovery? Wilt thou instruct and visit also from above the fathers also, O Lord, that thou may remember in the needs, and that thou may supply for all those who do recover also. O give to us all, that the callings that are coming unto us may be sanctified. For we by nature are dead, and even after received grace, then we can be in such a deadness of condition, so that we need to be quickened not only for the first time, but also by renewal. And that is all, O Lord, thy own work. O do it then for thy name's sake. Come, O Lord, look upon us. We are not those that deserve the least of all thy notice or attention. Thou who art risen from the dead, thou who dost sit at the right hand of thy Father, thou to whom all power is given in heaven and in earth, O, we beseech thee, and wilt thou come and look upon us and upon our children. And we live in days where Satan, he is going about to deceive and to destroy. O Lord, thou didst say it in the last days, perilous times shall come, and they are upon us and upon our children. We must be born again. We need new hearts of flesh. We need to be awakened from the dead. We need thy Holy Spirit to come from above, to go in and out amongst us. Else we shall have but a form of religion. And we shall come and go from the place of the holy and be buried as a wicked man. O Lord, grant us true conversion. And wilt thou quicken our hearts? And wilt thou grant unto us that life that hungers, thirsts, pants, that desires thee, that needs thee, that needs thee to reveal thyself? Thou knowest all the deceit also that goes about in our days, a Christianity which is no true Christianity, where man begins and where it all ends in man. O Lord, wilt thou begin, and will it all end then with thee, in thy honor and in thy glory? O, then thou wilt finish thy own work, when thou hast begun it, in a people who cannot begin it, and in a people who cannot uphold it and who cannot finish it. O Lord, wilt thou remember us all together, And wilt thou remember the nation in which we are? Oh, turn us again. Draw us, Lord, and deal not with us according to our many, many sins. Remember yet those judges that must soon make a decision, and when it will have a great effect also upon us in our own school. Lord, thou hast given that school may be begun, and thou hast upheld it even to this very moment in all of the needs and all of the cares that have been upon us now for these so many years. And thou hast provided each and every year, each and every day again. And thou hast given us instructors. And thou hast given us the financial means. And thou hast blessed us. And thou hast given open hearts and open hands. O Lord, wilt thou continue? Leave us not now to go over to ourselves. But wilt thou still uphold it? And wilt thou bless it also for the spiritual welfare and the temporal welfare of our dear children? Give us more instructors, and wilt thou teach also them that they may be taught of thee, that they may be teaching others also, and that thou may remember us in thy mercy. Be with us in this hour. Lord, favor us yet with a little blessing in this hour out of thy heavenly store. What is it, O Lord, if thou art not here, if thou art not present, if a man must speak, and if just persons must hear with our natural mouth, with our natural ears, if we have but a natural understanding, and then it all will testify against us. O Lord, come feelingly and believingly in this hour. Wilt thou come and bless thy own word? Make it quick. Make it powerful. Make it sharper than a two-edged sword. And make it sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And wilt thou thyself glorify thy own name in the midst of our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 137, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. The mighty God, Jehovah, speaks and calls the earth from sea to sea. From beauteous Zion, God shines forth. He comes and will not silent be. Devouring flame before him goes, and dark the tempest round him grows. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 137. And the last collection today is for the building fund. Thank you. beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul writes that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. How many are the infirmities of the true Church of God? And those infirmities are felt. He says the feelings of our infirmities. Do you ever feel something of the infirmities of God's church? Because they are part of those marks which are revealing that church in the midst of this world. We think of their felt poverty in the first place. Many times they feel very, very lonely in the feelings of those infirmities. But Christ, He is, Paul says, an high priest that can be touched with the feelings of those infirmities. How is that possible? That is because in a special way, he says, of the suffering in his human nature. Our catechism, we read there a question. It says, what dost thou mean by the words he suffered? And then the answer is that he, all the time while he lived on this earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. Thus it was not only at the end of his life, but we read all the time that he was on this earth, that began in his very birth, that we considered something of in the time of Christmas, but it continued throughout his life until it reached that climax at the very end of his life. And we wish with the Lord's help to consider a little something of this with you in this afternoon out of the words of our text, which you can find in the before read chapter, John 4, the last part of verse 7. John 4, verse 7, the last part. Give me to drink. So far, the words of our text, wherein we find that Jesus begs for water. First, the humiliation manifested by this begging. And second, the blessing bestowed by means of this begging. Jesus begs for water. First, the humiliation manifested by this begging. And second, the blessing bestowed by means of this begging. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. What were the circumstances? Well, the Lord Jesus, he had gone up to Jerusalem. And he went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And then afterwards, he would go from that land of Judea, and he would return again unto Galilee. And then we read that he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because, boys and girls, then Samaria, that was a portion of the country that lay between Judea and Galilee, So it was necessary that the Lord, he go through this Samaria in order to go to Galilee, to, we would say, to go home again. But it says here that he must go through. He must needs even go through. Why is it stated in such a way? Because it was not a desirable thing for that Jewish nation that they would have to pass through Samaria. And why not? Because the Samaritans, they were looked upon by that Jewish people in a very, very negative way. Thus, those Samaritans, they were considered by the Jewish people to be very polluted, to be a very sinful people. And then the Jewish people, if they would have to go from Judea to Galilee, they would rather than to go through Samaria, they would rather take a much longer route all the way around just so that they didn't have to go through Samaria. But for the Lord Jesus, it is different. Why? Because there is a church that needs to be gathered. And he must needs go through Samaria to gather that church. Indeed, he must needs go through the world in order to gather his church. That is a great part of the sufferings of Christ, that he had actually to descend into that pit, that horrible pit, that miry clay. He had to descend in and into it in order to deliver his church. And we, as polluted and sinful creatures in our very nature, are not able really to enter into this part of the sufferings of Christ. Why not? Because he is a holy being, but we are not able to truly perceive, to understand his holiness over against our own pollutedness. Ezekiel was commanded to eat barley cakes baked with man's dung. He objected. Why? Because of the loathsomeness. And the Lord spared Ezekiel. Upon his objections, he says, behold, he says, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung. But Christ was not spared. He had from his Father, in order to do his work, to so humble himself, to descend into that horrible pit. The Lord, he said to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. What? All manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And Peter objected. Why? Because of the uncleanness. What was the representation of it by the Lord himself? That was Gentiles. That was sinful people. The Lord Jesus, he was not spared. Give me to drink. Christ never experienced what sin was. in itself that is impossible. He never experienced what the guilt of sin was, only what it was to have that guilt to be laid upon him by his Father. But Christ has experienced all of the consequences of that guilt and of that sin of his church. Here we read of thirst. Give me to drink. What is one of the most necessary things for our life? That is water. We can live a long time without food, but we cannot live very long without water. It was not only the further blessings, the prosperity of the world that Christ had to miss, but here and then he is asking even for the very necessities of life. Just a little bit of water. And why? How did the Lord Jesus return from Judea, children, to Galilee? Well, he had to walk. How do you go home from church? Do you have to walk? Say, no, we go in a nice car. Maybe you say, my car, that is not so nice as the other cars. The Lord Jesus, he did not have a mule. He did not have a donkey. No, but he had to walk all the way back unto Galilee. Thus, he walked with the very poorest of the people of the land. And then what do we read? We read that he was weary with his journey. It seems maybe that in his body, he was weaker than even his other disciples, because those disciples, they have gone further yet into the city, and he has remained behind. He was sitting there in his weariness upon this well of Jacob. Christ, he had a load to carry through this world that also the disciples never had to carry. You know, you never read, young people, that the Lord Jesus laughed. Because life, that is a solemn thing. And Christ, he has carried with him through this world all the cares and all the concerns that lay upon that true church of God. And therefore, it is understandable that the Lord Jesus, he is, as we read here, weary with his journey. All of the sin and all of the corruption of that church that lay as a burden upon the shoulders of the Son of Man. Give me to drink. That is just like a helpless creature. You say, could not he help himself? Did he need to drink even? Because he was the divine being, certainly he could help himself. He was the creator of the whole world. He has provided manna for the people in the wilderness. He fed multitudes, thousands of people, with a few loaves and a few fishes in a miraculous way. All the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they are his. When it came to his church, when it came to those who suffered in this world, than that deity of Christ that was exercised on their behalf. But when it came to himself and his own needs, then he has relinquished the use of his divine attributes. And why is that? We read in God's word that it was in submission. It was in submission, we read, unto the will of his own Father. Thus, in his human nature, he had to experience something of that helplessness that is also experienced in the life of the true Church of God. That helplessness that cannot help itself out of the poverty wherein that it has come. Paul, he says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient unto death. Give me to drink. Thus, the Creator of the whole universe, the upholder of the universe, he who is sustaining the universe moment by moment, is asking this sinful, this adulterous woman, the Samaritan woman, for a drop of water. Mankind sometimes has to do this. We ask one another, can you help me? And that is an admission. It is an admission of the consequences of our own sin. It is our own guilt. Then we have to confess that there is some inability. And if I ask you, young people, to help me, then I say that you have something that I do not have. That you have some ability that I lack. That you have some provision that I do not have. Or maybe you have some wisdom that I do not have. Thus, when I ask of you help, then I am confessing something of my own helplessness. Give me to drink. That is now the extent to which Christ has been willing to humble himself when he came into this world, so that he has appeared to all the world just as a sinful human being. So that the Pharisees even said to him, whom makest thou thyself? Paul says he was in the form of God, and he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and he took on him the form of a servant. A servant. He was made in the likeness of that sinful human flesh, no reputation. And he was willing to go through Samaria to be mocked by this sinful woman. She is very surprised at his question, at his demand, at his request, give me to drink. She says, how is that? That you, being a Jew, will ask drink of me, who which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She says, how is that? You Jewish people. Because you Jewish people, you spit at us. You say we are worthy of nothing. You see us as a polluted people. Ah, if you were not so thirsty now, you would never ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. You would rather go another 50 miles in your thirst. How is it? God the Father has attributed unto his Son, has imputed unto his Son all the sin of his elect. But this woman, she is attributing unto the Lord Jesus Christ the sins of the entire Jewish nation in their despising of the Gentiles, in their despising of the Samaritans. She says to Christ, you are a Jew, you are one of that people. You are actually the same as that people. Therefore, how can it be that you are asking a drink of me? No reputation. The Lord Jesus begins to say to that woman who he is. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given to thee living water. And what is now the response of this woman? When the Lord Jesus begins now to speak about spiritual things, then this woman, she begins to taunt him. It is one thing to be poor. It is one thing to be needy. And it is another thing when someone begins to taunt us with our poverty and with our neediness. You do that too, maybe children. Maybe someone has done that to you in school or elsewhere. And you say to your friend, oh, you say, you are not able to do it, not as well as I. You do not have as much as I have. What are you doing? Oh, then you would like to make him to feel that poverty. That is an awful thing. That is now also what this woman does. Because Christ, he has nothing to drink. And this woman, she begins to point that out to him. And she says, look at you. Look at you. You have nothing to draw with. Nothing. And you are going to talk to me about living water? You are going to speak to me about spiritual things? She does not even know it. She does not even realize it. But she is taunting him with the fact that he has nothing to draw with. We will make him to feel that thirst. No reputation. Art thou greater, she says, than our father Jacob, who gave us the well? He gave us the well. He dug the well. He gave us water to drink. And now you speak about giving water also to drink. What does she do? She begins to mock with him. She says, Who do you say you are? You are nothing but a boaster. Here you are as a poor man. There you are as a thirsty man. There you are a man you cannot even help yourself. And now you are boasting. You say that you can give living water, and you can't even give yourself a drop of water. Satan, he mocks with that true church. He says, what do you have now? What do you have? You cannot even sustain yourself. You have nothing to eat. You have nothing to drink. And so they stand, that people in their helplessness. Give me to drink. There he stands, begging for a little bit of water. And so far he has gotten nothing. She will argue, as it were, with him. She will wait. She will, as it were, make him work for it. She will, as it were, give him to feel that she has more power than he has. He is a Jew, one of those high Jews, and she is but a Samaritan, a polluted woman. And now she will make him to feel, give him to feel a little bit in his thirst what his place is. And that natural poverty of Christ that is provoking in her a despising also of his word, his natural poverty, his need, that she is despising that message that is coming out of his mouth. So that it is, as Isaiah says, he is despised, he is rejected of men. Soon he is going to be lifted up. He is going to cry for water again. I thirst. And then it will be fulfilled what was prophesied of him. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. And all her mocking, that is but a precursor to that mocking that shall come out when he is lifted up upon that tree. And then they will mock with his power. They will say he saved himself, others he cannot save. They will say, if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Give me to drink. What was Christ willing to endure from this woman? And in great meekness, and really, for what? Or we should say, for whom? Was it not actually for this very sinful woman? But we want to consider that after we sing Psalter 47, stanzas 6 and 8. Oh, let thy strength and presence cheer, for trouble and distress are near. Be thou not far away from me, I have no source of help but thee. 6 and 8 of Psalter 47. give me to drink. We do not read that the Lord Jesus ever received one drop of water from this Samaritan woman. The disciples, they return, they say, "Master, eat." But he says, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." What is that? He says, "My meat is to do the will of my heavenly Father and to finish his work." Christ received nothing from this sinful woman. But this woman did receive an inestimable blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We read that she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She left her water pot. Why, children? She forgot it. And she forgot what she came for. To the well. So she didn't take it back with her. Did you ever forget what you came for? Did you ever forget your water pot? Did you ever forget to eat your meal? And why? Because there was a new life now in the heart of this woman. Because this woman, as she was now born again. And when you are born again, then there are sometimes going to be times that the heavenly things, they are going to so fill your soul that you are going to leave your water pot. And at the same time, there Christ, he is sitting, yet in his thirst. Thus he still has nothing to drink. And it was not now anymore out of enmity, but it was out now of that new life that she forgets him. And that she is not now ministering to the natural needs of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this he was willing to suffer at the hands of his church for whom he has come, that he may suffer and that he may die and that he may give himself for that church. And he says to his disciples, in his need, he says, "My meat is to do the will of my heavenly Father and to finish his work." Then the neglect of his body, that was a sacrifice that he has given for the sake of his people. It is such a wonder that he is not dependent on us, but that he is upheld by his own Father, that he may finish that work that he has given him to do. Give me to drink. It was congregation, this humiliation of Christ, that he was so weary in his body that he could not go further with the disciples for that food, but that he had to sit at that well. It was this humiliation of Christ that he is brought in his thirst to beg of this woman that was for the uncovering of this woman in her sin. Go call thy husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. It was this humiliation that has also been for the revelation of himself to this woman. I know that the Messiah is coming. I that speak unto thee am he. It was now for this blessing that the Son of Man, he must go through Samaria. It is now for this blessing that that Son of Man, he must needs go through this world. And that he must go through this world in the way even of a beggar. Give me to drink. Because that woman, she began as a mocker of the Son of Man, but she ended as a worshiper of the Son of God. Here is the end. Here is the fruit. Here is the mission, the purpose of Christ in his humiliation. Where is he now? He is now exalted. He is now at the right hand of his own Father. And yet, do you know what Paul says? He says, we beseech you. He says, we beseech you. We, as it were, admonish you. We, as it were, beg you. We beseech you, even, he says, as though God did beseech you. Even as if God did pray you, did ask of you, did beg of you. Be reconciled, he says, unto God. For such a reason, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. The Lord, by Jeremiah, he says, I will yet plead with you, and with your children's children I will plead. Is God weak? Is God dependent? Is God dependent upon the strength of man? Does God sit by and wait for man to exert his strength? And does he sit by as a bystander? By no means. Even as Christ himself remained God in his humiliation, remained with his divine power, and yet the Lord, he appears unto us as one who is pleading, he says, with man. Why? For a purpose. That man himself may be ashamed. That man himself may have his sin open to him, that he may make himself known to him, that he may reveal himself unto man. Oh, how low is the Lord willing to stoop for the salvation of his own people, for their instruction. What about us? Of ourselves, we will not bow. That is, congregation, the greatest obstacle to our own salvation, because we refuse to own our sin. We refuse to own the consequences of our sin. That is now the great work of the Spirit of the Lord, to break a man down, to humble a man, to bring him in the dust of self-abasement. But that is not so easy. Was that so easy with this woman? The Lord Jesus said to her, "Go call thy husband." What did she say? "Oh, sir, I'm a sinful woman." No. She tries to hide it. She says, "I have no husband." Yeah. Was that true? It was indeed true. That is not the whole truth, woman. And now Christ, in his thirst, give him nothing. You will, as it were, you will make him work for it still, to draw it out of you. Come, woman. What is it in your life? It is not only that you have no husband. There is more truth behind this. There is more a shaming truth. There is much guilt behind this, woman. Will you not now say it unto me? Oh, it is fine with that woman that Christ is humbled before her, but she does not want to humble herself before him. Are we also as that woman? What is our status in the world? We read of Christ of no reputation. What is our status in the world? Do you have a status? Status among men, young people? Not only young people, should not say that. Fathers, mothers, all of us. What is our status? We have to have a certain level, certain clothing, because, well, that is certain status, certain car, a certain home, a certain this, certain that, all kinds of things. We have to uphold ourselves in this world. What did the Lord Jesus? He was willing to beg. To beg. And that for the salvation of his people. Are you willing to become a beggar in the midst of this world for the salvation of your own soul? And how is it then not only in the midst of this world, but how is it now before the Lord? Because we do not just say to the Lord all our sin, but we are covering. How much work now does the Lord have to do to bring it all out? We say, like that rich young ruler, "All these things I have kept from my youth up." We will not acknowledge our sin. We hide that which we do not want to give up. We do not want to come out. What is the lowest state of a man in this world, the lowest condition of any man in this world? That is a beggar. How can you come lower than that? Beggar has nothing. And he not only has nothing, but he cannot get it either. He has no power, and he has no reputation. Did you ever now become a beggar? A beggar before the throne of grace, who has nothing and has no power to get it? no power to obtain it. Oh, those are the feelings of our infirmities, that Christ, He was willing to experience in this world. Give me to drink, and He never received it. We don't read it in His thirst, but do you know what He promises? That if you will beg it from Him, He will give it to you. He says that. Let him ask. And if he will ask of me, then he who asks, he receives. Do you think the Lord is a liar? Oh, to come as such a man before the Lord Jesus, He was not now a stranger of that feeling helplessness in the life of His church. He was not a stranger of that feeling poverty in the life of His church. And that is now the reason that Paul, he says, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, there was a man, you read it in the Bible. He was a nobleman. A nobleman that is a man of no mean reputation. He is a nobleman. And no matter how high our status is in this world, when the Lord brings a man in the need, you read of that man, he beseeches Jesus. He beseeches Him. Why? Because he had a son that was ready to die. That is now the need. Read Psalm 107. That the Lord is bringing a man into, that they may cry unto the Lord in their trouble. We do not so cry, we do not so beg until we have that need. And then a man, he is brought so low. In poverty, in helplessness. Do you ever feel it for the need of your soul? The Lord Jesus, He tested that man. He said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You know what that man did? He said, Lord, come down ere my child die. That was all. He just begged it of Him. Lord, come down ere my child die. And now that supplication that was manifesting the feelings of the infirmities of that true church. O Lord, help me. O Lord, save me. And Paul, he says, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with them. That is, we have a high priest who is touched with them, who is tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. And therefore, in that need, ere your child die, ere your soul die, the apostles, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find grace and help in time of need. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that Thou wast willing so to humble Thyself, to come as the most needy one in this world, as the most helpless one. What a pit that we have brought ourselves into because we cannot get out of it. O Lord, wilt thou hear our supplication when we are in that spiritual death, and when we cannot deliver ourselves out of it, when we have to live out our poverty and we are helpless in it? Lord, we are children, we are young people, we're fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers. In that pit, wilt thou hear us, O Lord? Thou dost say that thou can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. O Lord, help us then. Deliver also thy people, for they cannot deliver themselves from the deadness of their condition. Oh, that thou would speak, Lord, that thou would come again, that thou would reveal thyself and show thyself among us as one who is now at the right hand of power. Lord, wilt thou do it for thy own great name's sake, for us and for our children? Give thy word a place where it has no place by nature, and deliver us from all our iniquities. Bring us safely home. Forgive what was amiss in thy most holy sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 362 all stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. 1, 2, and 3 of 362. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.